Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Red Ice radio program. I'm Henrik Palmgren. Thank you for tuning in today. Our website is redicecreations.com and rediceradio.net. We have more radio, videos, and news on those websites. We cover some of the most pressing issues that are simply too important to ignore in these fascinating and volatile times. We have guests on our program that addresses where we are and where we are going, you know, our future, and how the establishment and their willful dupes who are conditioned to believe they're doing the right thing are ruining our beautiful world and our beautiful people by turning us into the same empty, progressive, materialist consumers fit for the new global world order. This is a call to resist and respond to what is happening and begin to organize against it. Today we'll be speaking about the fate and future of Sweden once again, a country transformed and lost to the world elite and their goals quicker than most other countries. We are spearheading the European destruction that the globalists have set out for us. Our guest is Conrad. He's from Gothenburg. He used to be a staunch lefty, believing in the policies and politics applied to Sweden for many, many years before he finally came to his senses and decided to look at some of the facts and figures for himself, promptly rushing him into a completely different direction and understanding about what actually is happening in Sweden and why. More recently, he's been the co-host of a podcast, one of the few in Sweden addressing these issues, called Radio Länsman. Today, we'll be speaking about what is going to happen to our beloved Nordic country and its people if nothing is done about where we are going. Hey, Conrad, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on with us. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Henrik. This will be very interesting.
It indeed will be. And I'm always, you know, encouraged when fellow Swedes decide to face the harsh reality and get aboard talking about the numerous political issues that we have in Sweden. And I always want to encourage that. We've had a lot of people on, you know, talking about these subjects from the point of view of Sweden to try to, you know, give our international audience, people in other parts of the world, but Swedes themselves as well, kind of an insight into really how bad it is. And I know that you started this together with another gentleman, a radio program. Just tell us what got you started. Why did you want to go in this direction? What happened?
Yeah, well, maybe 5-6 years ago, I started, I was a leftist, and I started to feel that I had a lot of discussions about immigration and how great it would be if Sweden could be an open country, and I tried to debunk all these racist myths and, you know, just do my job as a leftist. But then one day I made the mistake to check out some facts, some real hard, cold facts. And well, the facts pointed in one direction, and it was the direction that Sweden is killing itself financially and culturally and every other way. So I had like 6 months of real anxiety because I was so brainwashed that when I now started thinking that immigration maybe wasn't the greatest gift to all humanity, I started to believe that I was a racist. I mean, this is crazy.
Right, yeah.
But I wasn't. I mean, I didn't hate black people or anything like that. I just didn't see this as a viable solution for Sweden. Then I moved. I moved home to Gothenburg again, and I felt just amazingly alone. I had no one to talk to about this. And I was just boiling inside with all these facts and all these emotions. And so I started looking around in Sweden if there was any podcasts that might concern me on this subject. And I found this Radio Länsman, and I called in one day as a guest. And well, from there is, we had a good chat, and he needed someone to support him in his he needed a co-host for the program. And well, that was about 2 years ago. And here we are.
Well, that's great. And so he was kind of going a little bit already on these topics. Do you know how long he has been going? Because I mean, I've heard about it a few years ago, I think. How long has he been running now?
Yeah, before me, I think it was this project, Radio Länsman, maybe half a year. So it was pretty new, which was a good thing, but because then he and me can form it together. Now it was still plastic.
Right, exactly. Now, for those who don't know as well, the name Radio Länsman is like a, it's a difficult word to translate, but it's basically like a county man. They used to be a person in the county that you could actually turn to for help and things like that. It's not the police. it's not, I guess it's a kind of a representative of the government, right? But you guys mean that in the most positive sense.
Yeah, so. More like the good guy, the elderly man that you talk to, you know, like the go-to guy.
Yeah, exactly.
This was long before, Landsmann started meaning police. I mean, this might be like the 17th, 18th century or something.
Yeah, exactly. So what were some of the facts that you encountered? Because as you detail, we have years of being brought up within the Swedish system of kind of a by default kind of self-hatred. We don't really address our own culture that very much. And when we do, we kind of get the shallow straw man version that it's all, you know, Midsummer's poles and meatballs, and that's about it, right? There's nothing more to it. But so what were some of the facts that you started looking into?
Well, the first thing that really, really struck me is I've always been taught that immigration, it will pay off financially in the long run. You always hear this, in the long run. This is an investment to help all these people. Sometime we're going to be a really rich country because we have such a great immigration system. But if you look at the facts, I mean, since Sweden got multicultural, which our government decided in, I think, 1975, the immigration has been a financial disaster for Sweden. I mean, however you count it.
Yeah.
And I mean, this took me like 5 minutes as a lefty to find out. I mean, I didn't, no, this got to be the wrong digits. So I just looked and I rechecked the sources. And I mean, it's crazy to me that we have politicians now still who claim that this is some kind of investment that we will make money on because no economics, no people taught in economics would agree on this.
Right, yeah.
Of course. Because we have, the math, it's so obvious. We have like one of the biggest welfare states in the world. And we also have like the biggest immigrants of people who, can't even read, some of them. We have really high wages. We don't have any low paying jobs for anyone. Our whole market is like focused on high education. And this, I mean, if you listen to the politicians, how are you going to solve this? They never have any concrete solutions at all. They just keep saying these cliches that, we are a humanitarian with the best people. The Swedes are the best. That's really, you said the Swedes are so self-loathing, and I agree with that. But we also think that we are the best. We're the goodest. Nicest.
Yeah.
We are the...
The countries, see, this is the thing, right? The governmental system we have is the best in the world. If you ever criticize anything, you don't, and you don't end up kind of speaking with people on a rational level with the numbers or the facts or what's happening. You come up against this wall of just a complete programmed robot, an individual who's incapable of dealing with you on a personal level. And I was curious where that comes from, and where we get taught that this is so immensely wonderful, the system that we live in, because it's proven at this stage that it's gone downhill, it didn't work. Sorry, folks.
No, but still, I mean, it's from the first day at school, I think. They start to do this propaganda and to claim that, it's not, you should always share through taxes. That's also a very typical Swedish thing, that people themselves don't want to get their hands dirty and, actually help people.
Exactly.
Everybody just says, raise the taxes. Raise our taxes anymore. I love to pay taxes. Taxes. Which is such a crazy way to look at it. I mean, you're somehow good by proxy. You don't have to be good because your government is so good. And that means we are all the best people in the world.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, then on top of that, we are expected to, I actually did some research on the numbers here when it comes to charity and voluntary charity as opposed to, state-given charity. And it turns out that Sweden, as small as a country we are, give an extraordinary amount to other countries. For example, I think we pulled out the numbers for 2012, how much aid Sweden gave to Africa. I mean, Sweden is a tiny country. I mean, 8 million, 9 million people. And we gave, we were like on the top 10 list of those who donated the most money. I think it was about $1 billion American dollars overall that we gave to Africa in 2012 without any kind of reinvestment. And then you looked at, of course, what people voluntarily gave, comparing to, for example, to America or something like that, voluntary aid. Americans are very generous. They give a lot, but we obviously, at the same time, though, to kind of, give some credence to most Swedes, they don't have any money over at the end of the day because everything goes in taxes. So they don't have any money to give. But my point being here is that it's a tremendous amount of money that is taken from us and it's given to all these places where we have no control over it. And that's our fatal mistake, I think.
And I don't know how people out there in the world look at Sweden, but Sweden is, I mean, it's actually crumbling. All the things that make Sweden good, I mean, the education system, the retire... The elderly, the hospitals, I mean, everything is crumbling. I don't know if you've been to Sweden in a hospital, I mean, the last like 3-4 years, but...
Unfortunately, I have.
And I have to wait for like 3-5 hours for everything.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's because... Obviously, immigrants fill up the spaces that are meant to, or calculated to be enough, but they're not anymore. And I mean, there's no money to give hospitals. There's no money left. And our prime minister said this. We had just an election, and he said openly, there is no more money except for the immigration money.
Yeah, yeah.
And people didn't react. Well, some did, but I mean, were the riots on the street? I mean, this is such a crazy thing to say. We have no more money for anything except for immigration.
Yeah, and we're going to put it all in that area. It's suicide. I mean, it's beyond any kind of reasonable. It's kind of a difficult subject to deal with because you come to a point where you realize that it's so unbelievable, really, when you begin to look at it. That it's like you become incapable of dealing with it almost to a certain extent. And there's so many problems. I mean, you and me, we talked a little bit before this show as well, and we talked about some of the things we wanted to go over, for example, and it's just so much that you're getting overwhelmed with it, you know?
And actually, still to this day, I mean, both you and I, we work with this thing, read news all the time, but if you zoom out and try to look at the big picture, it's just like, it's like a nightmare, to be honest. I'm not using that word lightly. It's like a nightmare. I'm walking among these zombies who are so controlled in this question by their state. I mean, it's really amazing. I could never, in my wildest dreams, believe that this was even possible. I mean, in this day and age, everybody has, you know, internet, the information age. No, people don't want to know.
No.
The Swedish don't want to know.
Well, exactly, because you do have, I've found this curious as well, but usually when you have a lot of criticism or action in some capacity, at least at this stage, you have actually a lot of people that have come from abroad, they've come from different countries or what have you, that actually are in a position where they can see some of the insanity in a different way than Swedes have. It's kind of like the fish in the water again, you know, they don't really understand what they're living in. They have to get outside of it to be able to understand what it really is. But that's why you have, I think, kind of a lack of leadership, of taking initiative and doing something about the situation. We just sit around and wait for the government to fix it for us.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I think that's a really good point, because I think the Swedish culture has made us, you know, we can't act anymore. We have to have the government to tell us, don't do this, do this. I mean, this is a classical saying you say about Sweden, oh, they're so governmental. But, I mean, it's a state of mind. We're all even I, we're it's like a disease. If the government doesn't say that it's dangerous, well, then it's not dangerous. I mean, there's such a unique thing. I think it's the same maybe in Norway, but Denmark is way different.
Very different.
A few hours from here, because they're more go get it. Oh, fuck the state. You know, more American.
Exactly.
Which is such a great thing. I mean, as a lefty, I've been loving the state. Oh, I love the state. You can trust the big, beautiful state. You know, they even like the big brother saying, oh, he watches over me. But I mean, that's nice as long as the government is trying to do what's good for you.
Good for the people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There almost never are.
No, it's such a foreign concept to us. But I think it's gone, I mean, to a certain extent, it's gone really quick when it comes to the immigration numbers. We've really been overwhelmed. It's caught off guard to a certain extent. And at the same time, we've had this slow kind of glacial political system where, you know, we've had the social security, the network of safety has been in place for many, many years. And then you hear all the time, of course, how wonderful Sweden is, because it's one of the best countries in the world, right? Mm-hmm. I think no one actually even can say that honestly anymore. I'm starting to see articles now about how things are crumbling. But when you see the criticism, you know, I read some, I think it was Wall Street Journal or something like that. Someone was writing, you know, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. The anti-immigration party of Sweden is gaining head. It's no longer the humanitarian superpower that it once was. And now that's the problem, right? That's the fault of what's going on.
Yeah. humanitarian. Yeah, that's such bullshit. And I mean, I like the Swedish Democrats. I think they're maybe start of something that might be able to turn this all around. But the problem is they're described, as you say, as the right wing extremists and even Nazis or racists. I mean, this slur is following all parties that say, please, no more, not right now. I mean, you can't even touch the subject without being branded a Nazi.
Yeah.
But by I mean, serious journalists. That's such a... I mean, this is where the discussion is. Are they Nazis or not?
Right,
the discussion
exactly.
should be about, I mean, other things, obviously.
No, it's more, okay, when did you stop being Nazis? Then it's like this kind of, wait a minute, that implies that I was one to begin with. Yeah, and even officially now, I mean, it's been recognized that, there were some people who had a background in the neo-Nazi movement in Sweden, but so what? That's, you know, guilt by association. Some people can align themselves to any kind of movements. The party itself officially has never had those kinds of, leanings. So this is obviously just words they try to put on it to shut down the debate. But I mean, in all honesty, if we look at this sincerely, this is not helping the other political parties, because you just look at what has happened with the political system in Sweden in the last four years, right?
Yeah, and nobody's trusting politicians, not even less than before. And we're going to probably have a re-election here in Sweden. I don't know if your listeners know this, but we don't have to get into the details. But the point is that the Swedish Democrats, who got 13%, which is amazing, they were able to stop the budget that our government put down. So our prime minister said, well, let's have a re-election, which I don't think is going to happen. Because,
right, you mentioned this, yeah.
Yeah, because... we are having a real snowball effect here in Sweden. Finally, I've been waiting for this for like 2 or 3 years. And as you say, more and more people are starting to speak up. Even politicians and even the Kristdemokraterna, our Christian party, which is really small, it's about 4%. But they yesterday came with some proposals to make the immigration cheaper. but that they even dare to touch this subject means that something is happening.
Right.
And it's, it's too little too late, obviously, but it's something.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you about that a little bit later in terms of, you know, where this is going to go or whatnot. But why do you say that you don't think it's going to be an election? I mean, he's announced it, but this is something he still can back off on?
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, he's just an awful person.
The welder, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, that was Stefan Löfven. He was said to be this great negotiator. Yeah.
Right.
Because he came from the union, high up in the union. But the only thing that he has not been able to do is to negotiate with anyone about anything. I mean, this has just been such a... And he just feels so unprepared. I mean, every time you see him in TV, he just... where's my paper? Who am I? What did you know? Well, we're not going to work with the Swedish Democrats. That's about everything he says. And I mean... people are, as I said before, people are starting to show that they don't like the immigration. They don't like the beggars. They don't like that their parents don't get any food. They don't like that the welfare system is collapsing. And to have a re-election in this time, I mean, with the highest influx of immigrants ever, I mean, Sweden has extremely high, but we're setting a record after record after record.
Yeah.
I mean... everyone agrees the Swedish Democrats are the only one who's going to win on this, and nothing else is going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm thinking he's trying to threaten the alliance, the other part of the bloc, to try to force them into some kind of cooperation. Because he had a speech a few days ago where he said the classical, are you going to help us or are you going to work with the Swedish Democrats? So he's trying to blackmail them.
Yeah.
Them into, doing what he says. Otherwise, he will taint them with the saying that they work with the Swedish Democrats.
Huh.
And the crazy, I don't know if you know this. Did you know what the Swedish Democrats, they had some demands. They had two demands to help the government get their budget through. And one was no increased immigration.
Meaning, go as you go about it right now, but at least don't increase it, right?
Yeah, that's all we demand. Don't increase it anymore. I mean, that's we have to cut it down to like 95%.
Oh, well, of course.
But I mean, they're open. this is the only thing we want. This, and don't let the Green Party have any saying in the immigration politicians politics. But Stefan Löfven just said no, because he's not going to work with them. Idiot that he is. So, I mean, what we're looking at is either you don't want the immigration to increase, then there's only one choice, the Swedish Democrats. Or you want more immigration into Sweden, which something like 80% don't want. And I mean, in this situation, to call for a new election, it seems, I mean, yeah, he seems pretty retarded, but not this retarded. I mean, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And the thing is, if he says that, oh, I was just kidding, no re-election, I mean, people will hate him. But why do he care? I mean, he's in power 4 more years.
Well, I mean, something, I don't know the mechanics actually of what's going to happen after that point. If, you know, he's called for this re-election, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, the budget proposition that they have out on the table has to be approved by the other, you know, parties, right? So something will have to happen there at least. Maybe he needs to reform the finances again, or the proposition, and say, all right, that could go on forever too. That could just go on and on and on. Right?
Yeah. So. And something I think is kind of disturbing is a lot of people, a lot of debaters and journalists says, oh, you, the socialists and the liberals, that's the two big blocks. You can work together. I mean, you think just about the same thing. I mean, these are liberals and socialists. I mean, their view of the world are extremely different. And to have people then say, oh, just go together to one big party against the Swedish Democrats. I mean, then we have one party to vote at. That doesn't feel that well, two then.
Yeah, two. Well, exactly. Is going to turn it into, this will be the question that's going to turn Swedish politics into a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're raised immigration or lowering immigration.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the question that I keep coming back to is, well, regarding Löfven, regarding all of our politicians and journalists is, and I would like to hear what you think about this. Do they, A, don't know how the world looks? They don't know the facts. I mean, they were as fooled as anyone else. Or B, do they know but just lie to us?
Yeah, I think today, I think it's B, right? I mean, today it has to be, despite that they live in their, you know, own little enclave neighborhoods where they don't are touched by any of these transitional neighborhoods or what actually is happening. They're detached from reality, for sure. But I think it's more about, at this point, they've realized what they've done, what has happened. But they could never end up in a position where they admit to the faults that they've had of their past, because that would change everything. They will go down denying that they ever did anything wrong, you know?
Yeah, crazy. And then I don't know if you read the interview with our last prime minister, Fredrik Reinfeldt, who was extremely liberal regarding immigration. I mean, he opened the borders wide open.
Yeah.
And a Danish journalist asked him, well, Fredrik, haven't Sweden done enough? And this man answers, I mean, this is a serious interview. Do you know what? When is enough enough? Yesterday, I flew over Sweden and I saw there was a lot of space. It's not full yet. And I mean, this is what he thinks of his, of the common people, that people think that Sweden is full. I mean, physically full. There's no other places for people to go in Sweden. That's not the problem. Obviously, nobody thinks that.
Yeah.
But Reinfeldt seems to think that his voters think that this is their problem.
Yeah. So in other words, level all the forests, you know, just fill in the marshes and the lakes, and just, you know, build asylum facilities and let the whole world come to Sweden, right? Because they have this aspiration of becoming what he called a humanitarian superpower. All the things that we are going to achieve as Swedes and the Swedish country, it's going to be over this question that we're going to be number one in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The goodest, the most good, the most divine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. It's just sickening.
Let's just take their reasoning a little bit then, because we hear all the time about the, you know, the demographic winter, what have you. Things are not, you know, Swedes are not procreating. It's declining, blah, blah, blah. So their solution to this, of course, is to bring in, you know, more and more and more immigrants, despite housing shortages, despite just an economy which is in the tank with massive household debt, no jobs, exactly. So, but what do you think they're reasoning in as at this stage? It's going to fix it eventually or something, or, you know?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know. But I mean, I think, yeah, one interesting thing is the left, the socialists, you know, they have always had to have some kind of group of people to care for. And a few years ago, it was the class, you know, the lower classes, the worker. But now that doesn't seem to be as modern. So maybe they just replaced this with immigrants instead. And also, I don't know. Well, is there a saying in English? Voting cattle?
Yeah, you can say. Well, yeah. I get it.
Yeah. The thing is, people who immigrate to Sweden, they almost always vote for the socialists. So by just bringing thousands, hundreds of thousands, 200,000 people in each year, I mean, they consolidate their power in quite an effective way, actually. No, that, but I don't know if that's the reasoning. I mean, you can have like 100 of theories about this. But I think that the liberals, they might actually believe this idea, but they want to lower the wages. I mean, they're liberal. They want to have really, really low wages. And exactly. Then people would work more, obviously. But I mean, Sweden have been fighting against this for like decades. And now that the liberals came to power, in just 4 years, I mean, they took a big chunk out of the welfare system.
Yeah.
Very efficiently.
So, but of sorts then, that is kind of where the liberals and the socialists meet in Sweden, because the socialists think, of course, you know, open borders, let everyone in, it's great. And then from the neoliberal, and that doesn't really, the liberal doesn't really mean the same
in Sweden
as it does in America. So, we call it kind of like more financially liberal in Sweden, meaning they're more inclined towards what they called free markets, although it's not really free markets, it's still government controlled, but nonetheless, it's capitalism, really. So... Mm-hmm. So his incentive, the old party, the moderate party that was in power, his incentive is to get wage dumping and getting more people, so that basically the market, the capitalist system, can gain more power by being in Sweden, basically more money, yeah.
And also make the working class less secure. I mean, if you don't have a good welfare system, you don't can't demand higher wages. For example, we have an extremely strong union here in Sweden. It's integrated into almost every part of society, and I guess the liberals, the Swedish liberals, don't like that. I mean, that's one theory. But I think actually, above all this is what I keep going on about. You have to be good. You have to be in Sweden. You have to be good. Well, you don't have to be good. You have to say that you're good. There's an extremely big difference here.
Yeah.
You have to say that you're good, that you want solidarity, everybody's equal, blah, blah, blah. This is like the most common thing to be in Sweden. Which is, I mean, this goes from the guy on the street to our top politicians. If you're not good, then you're directly very, very evil, and probably Hitler.
Yeah.
And this is what makes, and that's why nobody can discuss this. Because if you watch, even up in parliament when they have debates, someone says, well, you're not good enough. You don't believe that all people are equal, something like this. And that's it with the discussion. Then it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to come to a point where those words don't mean anything anymore. And I think we're getting to that point right now that they've been throwing it around so long and it's so absurd. But one thing I wanted to ask you about is the difference here from other countries. We can try to pinpoint that a bit more, because these questions is not something that's, other countries are no stranger to these kinds of questions. You know, do we want to dump the wages? You know, of course, there's parties want to do that. They don't, or they want to be, have open borders, etc. But it's run away in Sweden as it has in no other country for some reason. I'm trying to pinpoint again, is it just the non-vigilance of the people, that they have so much trust and faith in their system? It's like no one has really taken the decision to like think about what they're doing, and it's just spiraled out of control. I mean, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, and it would be really interesting, to try to actually, pinpoint, this is the decision, here it started. But I mean, I think much has to do with this multicultural that the government decided. Well, now we're not. Now Sweden is a multicultural state, which means multicultural isn't. It's not just a lot of cultures, but it's an ideology that says that people should keep their culture as much as possible, but still live peacefully side by side in some kind of melting pot. Well, you heard all this before, and I mean, maybe that sounds like a good idea, like many ideas. I mean, communism sounds like a great idea too, but you don't have to think about it too much to start to understand that this will not ever, ever work. I mean, you will have a lot of cultures living side by side, but not peacefully. And they will always be side by side. There's no magical melting pot where people just forget their culture.
No.
And I think that's one of the big problems.
Well, exactly. And it's not, I mean, I know that they've gone back and forth on this. First, they talked about, integration. It was super important. And then after a while, instead of trying to beat that one string banjo, all they did is basically say no, forget that. Let's just have everyone preserve their culture, because that's going to seem like it's more successful now. So let's not have people integrate. they can speak their own language, you know, they can live however they want and whatever. But the downside to this very theory, though, is that Swedes, you know, are not, you know, taken care of within this system as well. It's like we are the we are the ones who are enabling this multicultural state. Yet, you know, we are, for example, not protected under hate speech laws and things like that. We are not recognized as being part of this, despite that we are still the majority in our own country. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, for a few more years, maybe. Yeah. Extremely true. I was thinking about. Yeah, you said integration. I mean, and a big part of integration is that it's not just the immigrants who have to integrate to Sweden society. The Swedish society should integrate into their demands too, and we see that a lot now with there are no pork in some schools, and we have these mosques with a praying goes out to some places, and I just find it really, really disgusting. I mean, it's such a cliche, but this is not my country anymore. I mean,
yeah.
I can, where I lived before, I could go days without hearing someone speaking Swedish.
Right.
I mean, that's not nice. I mean, when I'm in Indonesia, I don't like it when people don't speak Swedish, because you feel, you know, you feel left out. But I mean, that's not my country. But here in Sweden, this is my country. I'd like to, you know, understand what people are saying.
Yeah.
And it's such a basic thing, but I this might actually, for real, make me racist here in Sweden.
Because oh,
that's
well, definitely.
What being a racist is.
Oh, of course, exactly. And but also then the love for your own people and aspect. I mean, the very fundamental aspect that let's face it, every other culture has a self-preservation instinct built into it in one capacity or another. That's why a lot of people, for example, immigrants who come to Sweden, they want to see more of themselves in that country, because to them, that's great, you know. So, but we can't have that for some reason. We cannot look after our own interests, or we are the Nazis who want to, you know, go to Auschwitz and kill as many Jews as we can, right? That's, you know.
And I think that's another explanation of this multicultural thing, is it's very not good to think that your own culture is better than someone else's.
Right, yeah.
And that's why, it's almost not nice, you know, to teach these beautiful exotic kids to teach them Swedish. No, isn't that a bit racist? And I'm serious here. I think people actually reason. And always talk about, oh, it's so amazing with like African dance, or people all say pizza still. Oh, we have pizza now because of multicultural. I mean, that's such an idiotic thing to even say, because, well, it's not Italians here. It's not. We don't have immigrators from Italy. I mean, it's
not now anyway. We used to see there's been waves of immigration into Sweden, but never on the level that we have it today.
This is
just outrageous. And so, I mean, do you talk with people in terms of, you know, the erosion of our own culture? Because obviously, if you first of all don't understand what your culture is, if you first of all don't have an appreciation for the historical perspective of you know, what the Swedish people have gone through in terms of, you know, fighting over our territories and you know, fighting with our brothers and sisters in Norway and Denmark and all these crazy things that has been going on, if you lack that perspective, the long view perspective on history, I think that you by default are not going to, you know, it's not going to bother you, because you don't know what you're losing. You don't know what all that sweat and blood and tears and toiling in the fields were about by our ancestors. It's like, I mean, I think it's really despicable to see the way that these young kids are willing to sell out not only their parents, but their grandparents and everything that they worked for in this capacity, you know?
Yeah, and that makes me sad in a way, in a new way. I mean, because I can really feel, you know, my forefathers. I mean, they're not very happy with Sweden and with me. I mean, we are the warriors. I mean, they fought so we could have this, but we're not prepared to fight so our children can keep this. I mean, it's so weak. And it pains me. And there's an absolute war going on against, well, what you just said, Swedish culture. I mean, we have people writing, there is nothing that is Swedish because we all came from Africa.
Right.
There is no one who is Swedish because we all came from Africa. Well, okay, let's say that. But then there's no Italians and there's no Syrians and there's no, I mean, then they're only Africans, and nobody reasons like that. I mean, it's kids debate in these ways, but these are on headlines on the Swedish biggest newspapers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is a kindergarten system. I mean, even politically, even Assange talked about that, who got to feel some of the backside of feminism in Sweden and how ridiculous out of control it is. And it's again, I going back to that point, that it's like everyone is sitting around waiting for someone else to fix it. And that capacity, because we've been, you know, from childhood and up, we've been taught to hand over decisions to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the professional in the room who can actually make a decision here, etc. is always looking somewhere else. And the aspect, I mentioned this in other shows, but I think it's worth mentioning again, that when you lack that kind of conflict resolution or anything that has to do with when things become uncomfortable, they tend to run away in the opposite direction and refuse to look at it, even if it means the very destruction of their own people, their own ethnicity, if they even get that is, of course. But
yeah, if they even care. I mean, ethnicity also, it doesn't have an exact being, a saying. I mean, it could mean cultural, it could mean skin color, it could mean religion, but still, it, even that we don't even know what it is in Sweden, it's not nice to talk about it, because then you somehow try to point that maybe not all people are exactly alike.
Right.
And that's something that scares the shit out of many, many people in Sweden. We all have to be born exactly alike, even men and female. Otherwise, it's racist.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see this kind of it's a classical saying also in Swedish, among Swedish politicians, that you shouldn't put one group against another. That's something you can hear, I mean, every day, every debate in the Riksdagshus, where they do these debates with the politicians. Because saying that one group should get something on the cost of another group, saying, for example, that Swedish taxpayers shouldn't pay full welfare to every Syrian who comes to Sweden. If you say that, maybe people want those money to go to like the school instead, or to their parents, or to the hospitals.
Yeah.
Well, then that's racist, because you're putting one group against each other. And I mean, that's what politics is about, isn't it?
So we'll pay and pay and pay until, you know, the coffers are empty, and then all of a sudden we're going to stand there with our own pants down, and we're not going to be able to fix and help our own. I mean, that's going to turn the country into a third world country. That's going to be on its knees in like 10 years. And we will have to demand like, you know, food drops from the UN to be able to survive.
Yeah, I'm actually, first of all, I think the coffins are empty. I just don't think we've seen it yet. But then again, I mean, civil war in Sweden. If that would happen in 10 years, I wouldn't be surprised.
No,
I mean, Sweden.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Sweden, isn't Sweden supposed to be like the calm, you know, peaceful, democratic abyss? I mean, this crazy world. But no, it's the other way around. But here, the war is coming from the inside. The corruption is starting from the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's an extremist country. That's what people have to keep in mind. They talk about, lagom, you know, the word of everything being, you know, just kind of enough medium kind of thing. You know, it's like we're somewhere in between all the time, what have you. But it's a very extremist attitude, and I think this is something that's going to come back and bite us in the ass, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I don't know, hopefully, mate. I mean, people have to wake up, and it's going to hurt one way or the other. I mean, hopefully peacefully, but you never know. This has been boiling for, I mean, 20, 30 years.
Do you think that this is what they want on some level?
Yeah, you mean like a full-scale civil war, right?
Yeah, for I mean, God knows, you could imply any kind of reasoning on top of that, but the very aspect that they refuse to recognize what is happening is almost indicative of the fact that they want it to happen. They just like as a political laboratory, let's just see what happens if we try this.
I think they just despise ordinary people. Oh, they think wrong. We have to teach them. I mean, like communism. If you don't think the right thing, well, the state's going to teach you how to think the right thing. It's not you who thinks and then chooses your politicians. It's the other way around. I mean, we saw it in Russia, the Soviet states, and I think we're seeing it here now too.
So while the commies haul you off to the gulags, in this case, it's more like what's going to happen here is that we're going to make sure that the country collapses, and whatever comes out of that outcome-wise, be that civil war, then yeah, fine, whatever, you can have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really, I can just imagine, I mean, people are, we have a lot of really poor people in Sweden. I mean, that's not very Swedish either. And we, lots of them are immigrants. I mean, but it's nothing strange to be poor if you're just an immigrant who don't speak the language or anything. But we have like a new lower class that is building here in Sweden, people who don't have these extreme high educations. And this is where the Swedish welfare system is supposed to kick in, to help these Swedes who lost their jobs because, the technology got ahead of them, and to help them re-educate. But again, there's no money for this. There's only money for the immigrants.
Yeah.
I mean, they're staying in hotels now. I'm not sure you know about this.
But sure.
Know,
yeah, we'll tell our audience about
real
that.
Real hotels, as in I would go to if I want to make a nice vacation here in Sweden. This is where many of these immigrants live.
And they're turning these like, old manor houses and old type, castles from the 7 and 1800s mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. asylum seeking facilities, you know?
Yeah. Because suddenly there's money. There's how much this and all money in the world. I mean, you can. At the same time, the cutting down. I mean, I always think about the elderly. I mean, the cutting down costs around them. That there was an article not long ago that they no longer got a full egg each morning.
Yeah,
they got half an egg each.
That's right.
That's what you're. I mean, and these are the people who built this country, and now people are just spitting at them. I mean, shitting in their half egg.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I think you can judge somebody, you can judge a society about how they treat, you usually say how they treat their animals, and that might be true, but also how do you treat the elderly?
Yeah, definitely.
And we don't. I mean, we don't treat them at all.
We have these stories to come out now and then of how, bad the conditions are, or what have you, but I mean, also think about it from that perspective, the resentment, of course, and the polarization that will cause within the society itself. And these rifts uh-huh. might very well lead to a civil war within Sweden that we haven't even seen. Yeah. I mean, we probably have to go back to, one of the rebels like Dacke or someone like that who marched on Stockholm or something, many, many hundreds of years ago now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can just imagine, we have these riots all the time in Sweden. They don't write much about them, but we have this huge riot almost every weekend. But I think it was 2 years ago, there was a really big riot that the media followed. And then Swedes started picking up weapons and starting to march the streets. And I mean, this is almost a race war.
Right.
Already.
Yeah.
I mean, one of these things could escalate really quickly because there's a lot of hate on both sides. I mean, a lot of angry Swedish dudes and a lot of angry immigrant dudes. I mean, the immigrants are angry about the racism or whatever, and the Swedish dudes are angry about, they're angry. I mean, you just drop a spark in there and it will ignite. And I mean, the Swedish police, they're under-equipped and they have a really weird non-violence policy. I really don't know how that's supposed to work, but they're not equipped for something like this. I mean, it would just knock out Stockholm easily.
Right. Yeah.
And
maybe that would be, as you said before, maybe that would, that's what needs to happen. That capital need to burn, Well, we have, for example, police released a report a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, about, was it 55 no-go zones now by the police?
Yeah. Where they openly say that we have no control here. There are gangs running the streets here. And that's 55 zones. I mean, 75? Well, let's take... when we were young, Henrik, 10 years ago, we didn't hear about this. Sure, you were a lefty then, but, I mean, you would have read the news. I'm pretty sure that everything is getting really, really, really bad, really, really, really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it's changed. I think, about 10 years ago, I was probably I was more into conspiracy, getting on that page, but never thought about these kinds of things because it wasn't that close. It was like this topic has like, it's come to us, we didn't come to it because we have to, when you're on a path of trying to figure out what's going on, be it that you're, into even philosophy or reality itself or watching the news or into conspiracy, any angle you look at almost from this perspective, you will find yourself here because this is one of the most pressing issues. And on top of that, add on to it the unwillingness to anybody to address it or to talk about it. And you realize that for some kind of sanity's sake here, it's our responsibility to start addressing this. It's way, way, way overdue that we start doing something about this.
Yeah. And I don't know, do you think it's, is it too late or do you see this turning out good?
Well, I go back and forth every day, and sometimes I feel, let's say the Swedish Democrats got in power, right? And let's say that they managed to stop immigration or something like that, or even that they managed to influence other parties to start addressing this question. Part of me thinks that maybe that is not the way to go, because if things kind of quiet down now, we will basically get in a position that if the power gets us they want, we're just going to kind of simmer out of existence. And in about 200-300 years, there will be hardly any Swedes left. We'll be blend it out, and that'll be that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that would be the worst thing to go. It's better to go down with a bang than a whimper, as they say, you know? And to a certain extent, I feel then maybe it's better to just let this completely run out of control, because that is potentially the dangerous scenario that we need to really inflict some kind of change on the situation to be really be able to do something about it. Because otherwise, if it just kind of trickles out in the way it does now, I don't have much hope for the Swedish people as a whole, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, I can agree with you there. But I mean, the situation is, I mean, it's so bad right now. What would it take for people to get their eyes open?
Sure, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine things being even worse than now. I mean, we have as I said before, a state minister who says we can only afford immigration, nothing else.
Yeah.
We have, I mean, rampant crimes. We have
rape epidemics.
Yeah. And open racism against white Swedes.
Yep.
We have Willis who doesn't exist. And if you even criticize, I mean, some people say this openly. Well, people who say that immigration is expensive, they are racists.
Yeah.
Obviously. And I mean, how much would it take? Because I think we have to get the academic left class, you know, the journalists and people, they have to get their houses plundered. They have to get their kids robbed. Maybe then they will finally wake up.
Well, see, they're the upper class now. They have, some of these people have tons of money. They are living in their gated communities. They never see, I mean, it's like Reinfeldt, what you say? Yeah, of course he flew over Sweden because he never fucking lands there and visits actually was happening on the ground.
I would never. Sweden, are you crazy? I would never go there.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, the academic left is the traitor class, you know, in that regard.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a little break here in a little bit, Conrad. We're going to, of course, talk more about some of the issues we have on the wall here when it comes to what's happening in Sweden. I want to talk a little bit more about the Swedish Democrats and, you know, if there's any, you know, how they're going to take control, basically, because I think now with the re-election, it's looking, if that happens, that is even more people are going to vote for them. We can address that a little bit later. But so obviously your broadcasts are in Swedish. So unfortunately, the English speakers here will not be able to kind of, you know, understand what you guys are talking about. But nonetheless, we have a lot of Swedes listening and Danes and Norwegians as well. So give us the website where people can go and tune into these shows addressing the issues we've been talking about now.
Yeah, and we have some interviews in English, too, for our international guests.
Oh, great. Okay.
So the address is rlm.nu, rlm.nu. So please listen, please comment, please mail us if there's anything. We try to be very open to our listeners, and if you want, you can be on the show and just talk, because we want to talk to, we love having, you know, high-profile guests, but we also love to talk with the common people, because, as I just said, it's the common people who takes the, well, they take the shit, to be honest, from immigration, which many other people don't. So please look, listen, and comment.
All right, very good. rlm.nu, and that stands for Radio Landsman, which is the county man, if you will. We'll have the website up on redicecreations.com as well, so find it right there. But stay with us, guys. Stay with us, Conrad. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be right back. All right, folks, we'll continue as we do in the second hour at redicemembers.com. Go there to subscribe and tune in to more radio. We also have videos and a whole lot more for you there. We have a vast archive of investigations. As you know, we do interviews with guests. We get their opinions and perspectives, their work on hidden history, secret societies, subversive movements, conspiracies, politics, esoteric and occult topics, health, and many more aspects of all the things that we find fascinating and important to discuss. Check it out. I'm sure you'll find something that will spark your interest to hear more. Another thing I wanted to mention before we continue is that, you know, we're talking about the election in this program, and it was actually recorded just before the current socialist democratic prime minister called off the election that was slated to take place in March of this year, 2015. It was just as Conrad predicted, basically. So we won't be able to analyze that aspect of it too much, but what this basically means is much more of the same for another at least 4 years, as the resistance in the country can build even more momentum. Perhaps it's for the better, perhaps it's not. That could be debated, but we'll continue to speak about this and much more pertaining to Sweden and its future. So do stay with us as we continue. RedIceMembers.com, once again, is the website. And we have more coming up with Tom Goodridge, Dennis Fetchel, Eric Karlström, to name a few. You can find the full list of upcoming guests in the radio archives. Thank you for listening and for staying with us. We'll talk to you right after the break as we pick up, so please join us there. Thank you so much.